This is Living the RV Dream, episode 167 for Friday, October 30th, 2020.
I'm riding
in my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers. Hello, happy travelers around the world. Full-timers, pelican heads, part-timers, boondockers, weekend warriors, van dwellers, rubber tramps. Yes, another Friday. Happy Friday. I'm hoping you're having a great beginning of this weekend here, October 30th. You know, tomorrow is Halloween. Happy early Halloween to all of you. Although it seems like this year Halloween is going to be kind of like a non-event, with good reason, probably. But in any case, I have a short show for you guys today. I have one interview. We're going to be chatting with Keith Bernard of Clear2O Products. And if you recall, we had him on the podcast probably it was in March. I wanna say March. I don't recall exactly. It's been a crazy week, guys. So research has been lots of stuff happening. By the time you listen to this, I'm gonna be in Taylor County, Florida. As you know, and if you don't know, you know, I've been looking for a property, a homestead property, someplace with not too many regulations where I could park mini teeny and not to live permanently, at least not at this point in life. But, the goal, the ultimate goal will be to have a couple of pieces of land here and there. The one in Florida, it looks like it's going to happen. And maybe by the time you listen to this, it's happened, and you'll find out in tonight's live stream. But I'm also looking in Arizona. Eventually, I would love to have something in the mountains up in Georgia. That's a lot more expensive, so you know, you have to take it one step at a time, right? And I would love to have like a summer home, maybe in Idaho at some point. I don't know. I'm just talking out of wishful thinking here, and giving you my thoughts. So today we're going to interview Keith, and then I'm going to have some mail for you guys, and I already gave you the news. So without further ado, here's the interview. Well, hello, everybody. Today we have Keith Bernard here with us. He's the CEO of Clear2O, and by the way, very cleverly named. Can you tell us a little bit about your company, first of all?
Absolutely. Well, we've been in business since 2008. So a lot of people haven't heard of us, but we've made water pitchers and water bottles, all filtration type of products. And then about 3 years ago, we started into the RV space. We out of an RV ourselves didn't find what we were looking for and started building RV products to be able to come out with. And that's just kind of, you know, opened up new doors for us as well. So, but we're a small family-owned business just focused on water filtration. And you can, of course, they can look at everything on our website at clear2o.com, see all the various different products.
Mm-hmm. And it is 2O, the letter O, right? Like H2O.
That's basically exactly right.
Because yeah. a lot of people maybe get confused and type clear 20. Yeah. No, it's clear 2 letter O, which is a very cleverly named company. You guys are here in Florida, right? I think we're almost neighbors.
We are. We're in South Florida, and so we're in Miramar, and so not very far away.
Not very far away from me, just west of Fort Lauderdale, kind of, you guys are, yes.
Exactly. Yes.
I know you have some new products. I interviewed you early this year before COVID and all that, and you had one new product. Now you have another new product, but before we get into that, can we talk a little bit about water safety and why it's important to have a water filter?
Absolutely. Well, you've obviously traveled around a lot. You see all the campgrounds. And then if you're just walking around the campground, you see that there are people that filter their water. And then you see people who don't filter their water overall. But if you've ever gone to a campground and you turned on the water spigot, you've seen what comes out, whether it's brown water, which is usually iron or something that's in there, or sediments that are in there, all that's going into your RV. So the best thing in the world to do would be always protect everything by having a water filter. And there's lots of different kinds of water filters that are out there. Everybody's very familiar with the blue filter that you see hanging on the sides of trailers and RVs, et cetera. That's a competitor, as you point out. But we actually do make the green filter. This will be an example of our filter, very similar inline filter. The difference between the two is we make it from solid carbon block. So what solid carbon block allows you to do is capture more contaminant. So we can block down to the 1 micron level, and microns very important when you're talking about water filtration, because when you're talking about that, you're talking about the size of the contaminants that actually come through, and the micron size, a micron is a millionth of a meter, so very small. If you talk in terms of a red blood cell, for example, is 5 microns across overall. So this will take you down to the 1 micron level overall. And it prevents all of the bad stuff that you could experience in a campground from getting into your rig. You want to be able to do that because you want to protect your RV and the plumbing from all of the stuff that could be built up from sediments, as an example, that could build up in your plumbing and cause you problems, clogged faucets, et cetera. As well as you're taking a shower in that water, you're drinking that water potentially, you know, so therefore you want the cleanest water possible. And then if you filter your water, then you don't have to carry along all of the bottled water that you have along with you. So you don't need that any longer. You can do different things with it, of course. But with the bottled water, aside from saving the environment, you don't have the cost or the weight to actually have to carry along as well. So water filtration overall, from both a safety, a cost standpoint, it really just makes a lot of sense for people overall. And once you start filtering your water, generally you start realizing all of the benefits that come along with that, and that you don't have to carry the bottled water. You get cleaner water. It's better for your coffee, as an example, overall. So, and usually it's worth the time to filter your water.
I think so too. And some places do have great water, but it's one of these things that is hit or miss, you know, and then you go to that campground and you taste the water. It's like, this doesn't taste right.
And, absolutely. Yeah. Well, a lot of campgrounds you notice have that rotten egg kind of smell along with
sometimes.
Them. So
yes.
That's hydrogen sulfide that's in the water. It's in the water table. Anywhere they have hard water areas, generally you have those types of things as well. And so it's hard to get past that when you smell the water. So, obviously using a filter will remove all of that.
Yeah. Now, besides that green filter, by the way, that stands out. Everybody asks about that green filter when I'm at the campground. You have it's a larger filter that you guys started selling earlier this year, I believe, or late last year. And that's the Dirt Guard, right? Which is like...
That's the Dirt Guard.
It's an addition to that inline filter that we're all familiar with.
Exactly right. So what the Dirt, obviously we're one of the few companies that launch a brand new product in COVID year. So this was available earlier this year, but luckily we sold out and we actually are in the process of selling out again. So it actually has really been adopted a lot by different people. So we're doing very well with it. But this is the Dirt Guard. It actually is a canister style filter overall. And the heart of it is actually this filter here, which is a hard filter. It's a polyethylene filter, very durable, but that makes it so that you can wash the filter and backwash the filter for extra longer life. But the key thing is it gets the sediments. So it prevents the sediments as a pre-filter from entering into the inline filter. So when you actually combine these together, you now have a two-stage filter. So you have the first stage being a pre-filter, and then the second stage being the carbon filter. So what that allows you to do then is be able to both take out all of the bad things that are going to eventually choke the inline filter. That gives you longer filter life. But in addition to that, it makes the carbon more effective because it's dealing with water that it doesn't have to prevent all of the other stuff as well. It can just focus on the water. And it can use all of the absorptive capacity of carbon. So carbon is very good at absorbing things overall. So when water flows by it, it wants to reach out and grab the chlorine, grab the hydrogen sulfide, grab the lead, as an example, as well. So this will help that the carbon to actually grab more of that chlorine and makes for a much better system. So if someone didn't have the space for a large canister style system, or they just don't have the, they don't want to spend the money on those types of systems, this gives you two-stage filter, but an inline. So it's easy to store. It's much less expensive overall for the startup costs. And then you can then just buy the replacement filters as they fill up. So as it fills up, clean it, backwash it, use it a number of times. And then when eventually, hopefully, probably you'll get through at least one season. And then from there, replace it every year, generally, is what most people will be able to find.
So the dirt guard, you would have to replace once a year. And how long does the regular inline last, generally?
It depends on the number of gallons. We're rated to 1,000 gallons, so it depends on how fast you use that 1,000 gallons overall. But it really does depend on the water quality. If you do have a lot of sediment in your water, then you're going to clog your filters faster. Mm-hmm. If you can remove that sediment, then it's going to make your filter last longer. So that's one of the biggest jobs that the pre-filter does, is give you a longer inline carbon filter life.
Now, Keith, I want to talk about the new product that you just launched, because I mean, and they're related, because a lot of us RVers, we are also into the outdoors and hiking and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk about a little bit about this one, because I might have a use for that.
It's absolutely. Well, the thing is, I'm going to hold up it in the package here, if you can see it. Okay, this is actually a personal water filter. And we've just actually brought it out. It's just actually made it to online sales at this point in time. But what it actually is it allows you to be able to take this filter and put it in your backpack. Because as an RVer, you usually go to a campsite, but you don't necessarily always stay in a campsite. If you're somewhere where there's hiking or biking or someplace where you can actually go out and enjoy the nature, et cetera. I know recently you went up to the Appalachian Trail. That's like perfect for this type of product overall. So it's small and compact overall to put along with you. But just like we just discussed on the Dirt Guard, we like to try to bring something more to it. So we actually have developed this as two stages. So the first stage, I'm going to hold it up high enough, but the first stage is actually a microtubule stage. So this microtubule will actually go to 0.1 micron. So at 0.1 micron, you're getting virtually all of the bacterial issues. You're getting all of the cyst issues. Cysts are small protozoa that live in open water. They're called Giardia and Cryptosporidium, if you've heard those names before. They're small little single cell animals that basically are give you all kinds of problems if you were to drink them overall. So
that's the kind of stuff that is going to send you to the privy the following day. So
exactly right. Normally, you don't have to deal with them in regard to most plumbed in systems, because obviously that water has been treated. But when you're dealing with a creek or a stream or a lake, then you're in open water. So you have different issues that you have to consider. And so the microtubules here will protect you from all of that. So that will prevent that. But by themselves, they won't change the taste of the water or the smell of the water or anything about the water itself, because they're just blocking at that 0.1 micron. So we've added a second stage, which is a carbon stage. So now you get all the absorption that can come from the carbon. And so if it's water that doesn't necessarily smell or taste that great, you can still drink from it, and it's going to remove all those issues from that and allow you to be able to do that. This is a very simple device. Basically, you open up the caps on either end, and you just insert into the water source that you want to drink from and be able to drink from that source by sucking the water up out of it. So it's not meant to be your primary water source. Obviously, if you're hiking, we would expect you to be bringing your water along with you overall. That would be normal for most people to do. But once you are doing that, if you were to run out of water and you had a situation where you needed to get some more water, and or quickly, and or you have some dehydration or whatever it may be, then pulling this out of your backpack solves that problem. You can just go ahead and drink from that local water source, not try to make it back without any water overall. Right. So from an emergency standpoint and from a convenience standpoint, this does actually give you all of that opportunity. Now, in addition to that, with the product itself, we actually also include a flexible water container. Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you, because if you want to, you know, refill your bottle or use it for later, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask
you. Yeah, so exactly. So what you would do with this is this just comes, you actually just keep it folded up in your backpack. It's very easy to store. We actually include a carabiner as well, just make it easier to carry. And then it has a sport spout along with it. So you would just take this, and then you basically just insert it onto the end, and this will then allow you to drink from the bag itself as well. And so it gives you that water that if you have to then leave that water source, you can take that water with you and continue to have at least 1 liter of water that you carry back with you.
Does it fill up the bag with through gravity, or if there's some kind of pump that they use, or is just...
No, what you would do is you would just insert this into the stream or liver lake, whatever it may be, and fill it with that water, and then you would actually clean it. And then you'd squeeze the bag to be able to come through.
Okay, so the bag would have the dirty water, basically, quote unquote, dirty water, and then you would. Okay, you would
drink
directly from the filter. Okay, that's cool.
But what we would recommend is actually that you would fill this before you leave and carry this full with you if you have that available room. So at least you have this with you.
Right.
Then you can use this to be able to use that water if you were able to do that as well. So what that does is allows you to be able to use this in different ways. And then you can also use the bag to backfill. So, for example, being that it comes apart in two stages, once this starts to get clogged, you can just take a bottle of water or the bag with clean water and reverse the flow. And when you reverse the flow, you actually backwash the filter.
So
you can just continue to use it and reuse it and reuse it until you can't get anything more through it, then it's time to replace it. But generally, that's going to give you a long life. The carbon filters, you cannot backwash these because they're carbon and they absorb. So that doesn't separate. But we do sell a separate product that you can buy new carbon filters and be able to have that. You can just buy a 2-pack replacement. And these are good for about 20 gallons each. And so you would drink that 20. Doesn't sound like very much, but that's 20 gallons of water in a bottle as an example. So would generally last most people for quite a while overall. And then generally around 200 gallons for the actual microtubule straw as well. On it. So both of those combined, we think it's a great gift idea and it's great for us. We're continuing to expand out not only in RVs, but we're expanding into some other camping products as well.
Yeah.
So this is part of our entry into some of that camping. And so that, again, put it in your backpack, carry it along with you. If you don't need it, then that's a good thing. And if you do need it, then you'll have exactly what you need to protect yourself out on the trail.
Yeah. That's happened to me. I was in Yosemite National Park and I was running out of water and there was this stream right next to me. And I'm like, should I risk it and drink out of there or not? You know, luckily I had enough water to get back, but I was running low and
you'd be surprised how many people actually don't carry enough water with them. They don't really realize on a long trek how much water, how much they sweat, how much that they actually need to drink to stay away from dehydration. And so
it's extremely important. No, what happened to me at that time, I decided to go an extra couple of miles That's what happened. But anybody who hikes, it is extremely important to have I don't know if it is 2 liters per mile. I forget what the amount is, but it's
exactly. Well, if you have something like this, then in your backpack, then you can make that decision and not think twice about it. And as long as you can find a water source.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're there.
All right, Keith. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know you have other products too, like home products, like water pitchers and stuff like that.
We do. We do. So, we have other products. We always try to do it in a little bit different way. So we do have different products out there. We're always trying to make cleaner water. That's really what our plan is and our game is. As we actually try always to just figure out how many different contaminants we can remove and make better water. So our tagline is Better Water by Design, but it really is truly something we try to live that.
All right. Well, Keith, if people want to find your products, where should they go? Where should we send them?
They can go to clear2o.com.
Yeah.
And also, we're available on Amazon, Walmart.com. The Dirt Guard and the inline filter that we showed you are available at Camping World at retail, camperworld.com. And also, the filters are available also at Walmart directly.
All right. Well, Keith, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and I'll see you hopefully at one of the RV shows or on the road sometime.
We'll be at Tampa. So if you're there, come by Tampa. We'll be in our booth, and please stop by.
Well, I'll be seeing you there then in Tampa.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Have a nice day. You too.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right, that was a great chatting once again with Kevin, and the Tampa RV show is coming up real soon here, and January is just around the corner. Can you believe that? But let's see what the future brings. Hopefully it will be almost like a normal RV show, and we'll be able to see all the new models. And in my case, you know, it's always a little bit of a social event. I get to meet a lot of you guys, a lot of listeners to the podcast and viewers of the YouTube channel, and I also meet colleagues and industry leaders, and that's when we made the final, I don't want to call it negotiation, but the final, you know, handshake for last year when I got the ambassadorship with Winnebago. First it was the Minis on the Mountain. Well, first it was the RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where I spoke to Adam and I told him about it and this and that. And then the second was that Minis on the Mountain, where we started talking about it more seriously. I spoke to Cassie, the head of marketing there. And then at the Tampa RV show, you know, Joel, he's the general manager. He approached me and he said, you know, let's do this, you know. And I've been very happy with this ambassadorship so far. The only problem has been where to store two trailers, because I don't have room for both of them here in the house. And as I said, as you're listening to this, I'm going to be in Taylor County, and hopefully this weekend we'll get something done. But before we go, let me go through some of your voicemail and maybe even some of your email. And I was just looking through them, and we have two repeat customers here. No, customers wouldn't be the right word, but just what I come up with, you know. I'm having a silly day, what can I say? We have two voices you've heard before here on the podcast.
Hi, Robert. This is Bill from Fort Wayne again. I just wanted to comment and commend you on keeping the first Mini Teeny. I think it's a great idea to keep it in the family for a while. And hopefully you'll find a place to keep it and still use it and keep it as part of your original voyages, because I think it's quite important to keep that one. But then again, we just can't keep everything in life, otherwise we get to be a hoarder, don't we? But I wish you luck. I hope you find a good place to keep it, a nice piece of land, because that's what you're all about, Robert, and you put a lot of miles in that vehicle, and it was good to you. And thanks again for the great show. I love Chasing Waterfalls. That was really interesting. I don't know where you find all these beautiful waterfalls. I sure don't ever come across any. I'm hoping to find some one of these days. Take care. Bye, Robert.
And thank you, Bill. Thank you so much for that kind comment and your kind words. And Chasing Waterfalls. You know, it seems like waterfalls keep chasing me, although on the next episode... Wait, are there any? No, I don't think there are any waterfalls on this Sunday's episodes. You'll be, but there will be more in the series for sure. Because I don't know. I guess lately I have a thing for waterfalls, and of course nothing like what was it? The Yosemite Falls to me, that's one of the most beautiful waterfalls I've ever seen. And we'll see. There was something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, the Minitini. Yeah, you know, and there's certain things that I have gotten rid of in life that some of them I have regretted afterwards. I mean, not really regretted it, but, you know, it would be nice to still have, like, my record collection, you know, all my vinyl. I kept probably like a 20%, like what I considered irreplaceables or for nostalgia's sake or what have you. I got rid of a lot of the, you know, I used to be a DJ, little known fact, in the early to the, up until the late 90s, I was a DJ. I still have my two Technic 1200s turntables, and I used almost exclusively turntables. You know, I did mix CDs, and eventually I came into the 21st century and started mixing with MP3s, but still, there's something about the, you know, the scratching the vinyl that, you know, it's something special about it. But anyways, I went on a big tangent there. Let's listen to our next caller here.
Hi, Robert. It's Dylan here from Pickering, Ontario here. That's outside of Toronto in Durham region. And I have a question today. What is your summer plan for your plan for summer 2021 with Alaska? Are you planning to revisit Glacier National Park and also that and Banff and Jasper? And my next question is, will you like to do your live stream start your live stream at 5 p.m. and run until 8 p.m. or keep it at 6 p.m. And another question is, are you doing your live concert this week? I would really like to attend it. I don't know if I will attend it because I will be handing out Halloween candy. And yeah. And also, today is Tuesday, October 27th, and by the time you guys have seen it, it'll be Friday, October 30th, 2020. Yes. Hope you guys have a wonderful day, and hope I get to see you in person when you come to Ontario next year. So, see ya! Bye-bye, everybody!
Hey, Dylan, thank you for your comment and your question. And let me tell you something, the summer trip and even the upcoming winter road trip are kind of moving targets at this point. I haven't really decided. If I can make it to Alaska, I will try to make it to Alaska. I mean, I would imagine that by the summer, you know, we'll be almost back to normal, but we thought this was going to end much earlier, and here we are, almost November, and there are still the borders are still closed. There's still all kinds of restrictions, and so that's that thing. Glacier, if I do get to go to Alaska Glacier, it depends really how early in the season it is. If the going to the Sun Road is closed, there's no point in doing Glacier. And I intend, if I go to Alaska, I intend to be in that area in very early June. And sometimes going to the Sun Road doesn't open, I think, until late June. So that's a consideration that I hadn't considered, actually. This year, actually, everything worked out for the best since I visited Glacier much later in the season. And all the roads were open. There was still ice up there, you know. But much less, and of course there was all that smoke from the California wildfires. I have a reminder here because I actually have a podcast interview coming up. I'm recording this on Friday. I mean on Thursday. I have a podcast interview for next week. Since I'm not traveling as much right now, I'm trying to book some interviews. We're gonna have some very interesting people here in the next couple of weeks, for real. I forgot your third question, Dylan. The Mini City Lounge. Unfortunately, this weekend, as I said, I'm going to be traveling, so I'm not going to be able to do it. I was going to dress up and everything, you know, with one of my... I was going to recycle one of my old costumes, since the Mini City Lounge would happen on Halloween, and maybe would have fake candy or something. I don't know. But... But no, and this Friday, it's going to be hopefully at 6. It might be even later because I don't know at what time I'm going to arrive there. I have to check in at the campground. I have to talk to my friends. I have to talk to the realtor. I have to do a lot of things. But I'm going to try to be there at 6 p.m. Eastern or the latest 7 p.m. I'll announce it before. In any case, this is all I have for you today. It's going to be... it wasn't that short, wasn't it? I tend to bloviate a lot lately. But until next week, no music today. Until next week, thank you so much for listening and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.